rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Part 13, Praying Through the Bible, message number 348. In this series, every Wednesday night for 348 Wednesday nights, and we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor for His faithfulness. For only He can do something like that through human beings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 24. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here for the 348th time on Wednesday to proclaim your gospel and to encourage people to pray in times like these. We thank you for your faithfulness, your might, and your power, and how you give us grace and strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to march on in and through much tribulation. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our faults, and our failures, our trespasses, and our transgressions unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us. And forgive us, Lord, of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. We thank you for your holy word that tells us you gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You said in your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so, Lord, we pray in faith, believing. And we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this time and from the minds of people here and out there. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, foolishness, the satanic spirit of hindrance, the satanic spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, from those who would try to hinder your work from going forward. And Lord, we pray that you would give us sweet victory over ourselves, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit as you have in the past. And Lord, grant me fresh anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word today. And Lord, we pray that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us fit for your use. And we pray that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the precious blood of Christ that was shed for our sins, and at his holy name. For it is in his name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. A series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. A series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Holy Word of God. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to simply pray. You say, well, I don't feel like praying. Precisely. That's precisely why I'm preaching this series, because it's not based on your feelings or your emotions or what you think or what kind of trouble you're in or not in. God wants you to pray without ceasing. You'll understand it by and by. So this series is designed to encourage you to pray, to exhort you to pray, to challenge you to pray. I am a living witness that prayer to God, whether you feel like it or not, whether or not your prayers feel dry or not, God will hear your prayers and answer your prayers if you are praying according to His will and you're praying in faith, believing, and not based upon your feelings and your emotions and what you think. And God wants you to pray to Him, the God of the Bible, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 347 messages in this series. This is message number 348, which is a continuation titled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, Part 13. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Adam Clark said, do not suppose that ye have no need of continual instruction. Without it, ye cannot preserve in the Christian life. You can always learn something in God. But God wants you to do something with it. Nor go on to perfection without it. God will ever send a message of salvation and instruction by each of His ministers to every faithful, attentive hearer. Thus, this is the reason why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some are. In our last message, we looked at the importance of not quenching the Holy Spirit in our Christian life and service as a whole, and in our prayer life in particular. Today we will continue looking at this series of concise yet powerful, significant statements near the end of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. Snappy statements that are very powerful if applied to our lives. In verse 20, we have the command, despise not prophesyings. These verses are a continuation of the verses we dealt with some weeks ago. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, giving thanks to God, being thankful, being grateful. These statements are a continuation. They're in the same chapter. My oldest son wanted me to change the title, therefore, and I said, no, this is a great title. We're going to stay with this, as he helps me with the sermons. Regarding this command, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, that is, despise not prophesyings. He said, today we have a completed revelation in the Word of God. And there are some who believe there is no need for prophets or apostles. He said that there are some who believe the apostles and prophets helped lay the foundation of the church, and they did, and have now passed from the scene. And I said some believe that they have passed from the scene. Many do not believe that. The only prophetic ministry we have is in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And that is true. The Greek word translated as prophesyings means a discourse emanating from divine inspiration, that is the Word of God, and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked, or comforting the afflicted, or revealing things hidden that others can't see. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in light of, end of quote, by the way, in light of that context, it is important that we who are in the church are careful not to despise the preaching of God's Word, as so many do today. And we ought not to despise the preaching of His Word, as so many do today, for two reasons, as it pertains to our lives as a whole and to our prayer life as well. First, we ought not to despise prophesyings because it may be God's way of answering our prayers, that is, through the preaching of the Word of God. We have pastors in churches today who don't understand the power of the foolishness of preaching. And so they have forsaken the power of the foolishness of preaching. And now we have in churches all kinds of things going on. I have told you already one of the reasons why millennials are turning away from the church is because they have never been in church. They've been on a playground somewhere or doing something else somewhere on campus or someplace else. We need to get back to the days where parents took their children not to the nursery but to church with them. They need to grow up hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And everybody knows that children can understand the preaching of the Word of God, just like adults. Some can understand it better. Some children can interpret it for the parents, sad to say. And so I believe that we need to take our children to church to hear the preaching. It's okay for them to go to a Sunday school class or what we call today small group classes or whatever, but everybody ought to be in the auditorium when the preacher is preaching, thus saith the Lord. That's how I raise my children, and my children, all of them millennials, are still serving the Lord. And serving the Lord more so. And so I recommend it to you. Most churches, if not all churches, ought to shut down the nursery. We got some people abusing and misusing their privileges in the first place. And then they'll cut down on all of this worry and concern and actual child molestation going on. Take your children to church with you. Let them sit beside you. Train them how to sit up in church and pay attention and not despise the prophesying, the preaching of the Word of God. How often have we heard it said prayer is you talking to God and the Bible is God talking to you? And by the way, I'm here to tell you that not only will the Bible speak to you, but God will speak to your heart directly while you're praying. What you're praying about, oftentimes God will give you the answer while you're praying. And he'll tell you to get up and go do it in a hurry. Do what I tell you to do. While you're praying, God will tell you, before I bless you with that, you need to go over here and make things right with sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or your husband or your wife or whatever the case might be. Well, all true preaching, all true prophesying, if you will, is based on God's holy word at this point in time. And we need to get away from, including my dear charismatic brethren, all of this stuff that you're pulling out of the air, telling folk, I prophesy that you're going to be a business owner in 2 weeks. I prophesy, I want you to claim it. I prophesy that you're going to have $8,000 and then you're going to give me $7,000. I prophesy, do it, believe it. God has nothing to do with that, people. Okay? Stop allowing yourself to be bamboozled. We're not talking about that. It must bounce from the Word of God. All true preaching comes from the Word of God. I don't care who you are, Baptist, Bible, Evangelical, Charismatic. If you live in Texas, if you want to hear some sound preaching and some and just the plain teaching and preaching of the Word of God on the radio, my family loves KCBI. I don't listen to preachers because I'm a preacher myself. I don't want them to color my thoughts. But every now and then when I'm passing through, I hear a few things. And they don't do that foolishness. God told me to tell you that's a lie to hell. Anybody, listen to me very carefully. Anybody who tells you God told me to tell you something, that's a lie out of hell. Okay? That's the devil talking to you. I don't care who it is. That's why so many people are messed up right now. Listening to these false prophets. And these false prophecies, your life is cursed, messed up, is in shambles. The prophet's life is in shambles. Family is shot to hell, and they're prophesying to you and telling you lies that don't come to pass, because false prophets and their false prophecies don't come to pass. There are probably over a million prophecies that have not come to pass in the last 10 years that these false prophets have stated. And letting these devils, these devilish people, these false prophets lay hands on you and say stuff to you that is not true, people. You need to stop doing that. You need to get in a Bible-believing church where the preacher faithfully preaches the Bible. He's not trying to scratch your ears and make you feel good. The last thing on earth we American Christians need is to feel good. We felt good enough. We need the truth. And we need to confess our sins. And we need somebody to tell us, to preach the truth to us, so that we will fall down on our knees and stop running counterfeit dollars up to the altar and throwing it on the altar and all that foolishness and fall flat on the, God does not need your dollar. You're walking all the way from the back of the church with a tight dress on just to be seen waving a dollar bill and then putting it on the altar saying, bless your preacher. God does not need your dollar. He needs your heart. He needs your mind. He needs your soul. He needs your spirit. You're wicked as hell Monday through Saturday. And then you want to come running yourself down to the altar to receive a word that is not true. Waving a dollar in your hand. Worse than that, waving an envelope with a dollar in it. Cut that foolishness out, people. How far have you gone in God with that? No. You'll be better off praying, listen to me very carefully, gathering your family together, gathering your motley crew together in the morning. You'll be better off praying a sincere prayer as best you can, reading a chapter in the Bible, and maybe reading a little devotional. You'll get more from that than all of that hollering and screaming and somebody tapping you and knocking you down on the floor. And then they screaming at you, next week this time you're going to have $500,000 inexplicably arrive in your bank account. That's a lie to hell. Y'all need to stop listening to these lies and put these jokers out of business. If what a preacher or prophet, in quotation marks, is saying does not line up with the Word of God, the Holy Bible, then you should not listen to it. Amen, somebody. Chapter and verse, that's right. They must preach. And now, Brother Andy, bless his heart, now he's saying that expository preaching is too easy. No, that's what you need, people. There's nothing glamorous about expository preaching. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, but it's extremely powerful and extremely effective. Now, I am an evangelist by calling, and I understand the power of topical messages. I have preached many. I got many in my sugar stick box, okay? Many topical messages in my sugar stick box. Some of you don't know what a sugar stick is. A sugar stick is an evangelist. The messages that an evangelist preaches everywhere, and they work every time. All evangelists got about 21 sugar stick messages. He does not need any notes. He could probably read the passage from heart, and he just, by the grace of God, goes off, preaches it anywhere, everywhere, and it works every time. But the messages that have blessed my heart the most, as down through the years, particularly when I was a young Christian, were the preachers such as Dr. John McNeil. After all of my preaching and topical messages and hearing evangelists and so forth, for example, you know, an evangelist like Carl Hatch or Rabach can say, preach a message titled, "You Can't Keep a Good Man Down." Boom. You know, great titles. But Dr. John McNeil, he didn't have a great title. Dr. John McNeil didn't rap back at all. He didn't hoop. He didn't holler. He rarely raised his voice, and that was just maybe a little bit above what I'm preaching right now, how I'm preaching right now. But he would deliver powerful expository messages. He would preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night every week, and be in three different books, and wouldn't leave those books for months. And it just fed my soul every time I heard him preach. We need more expository preaching. In fact, I believe evangelists ought to preach more expository preaching. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Amen, somebody. We need to hear from the Word of God, man. And it may not be exciting. That's okay. But don't you despise it. God has a way of delivering to those who stand in His pulpits a special word to speak directly to your heart. And I want to tell you something about expository preaching. It is a miraculous thing, man. It is a powerful thing, my dear friend, because when a preacher is preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, expository messages, it's amazing how this happens, but God will find you right where you are. God's word will find you, and God will speak to your heart every time from that expository preaching. It's all right. It's all right, man. We got too many pastors trying to find the people, and they need to find God and let God find the people in His word and through His word. Amen, somebody. I'm not talking about something you want to hear, like the name it and claim it foolishness that we see so much of in prosperity, gospel, health and wealth churches today. That is so far removed from Christ, so far removed from the early church, it's ridiculous. I am talking about something that you need to hear directly from God's word. More often than not, when God is speaking to you in His house, it will be a word of conviction in this day and time rather than a word of comfort. A true prophecy is more likely to cause you to cry than it will cause you to celebrate, because we're in sin, so many of us, as Christians in the church today, slip sliding away, backslidden in our hearts, and we're filled with our own ways. And you would do best not to despise that word, because it may very well be the answer to the prayers you have been praying. Have you ever thought about that? The things that you're praying for, God will give you the answer right there in the message. There are thousands of Christians who will testify to this. Don't despise the preaching of God's word. However, God had to deliver it through His preacher, or prophet, if you will, because you are to, and by the way, you know, I believe that there are people who still have the spirit of the prophet. Oftentimes it is the evangelist. He does both of those things, those jobs. But I think that is not wise to go around calling yourself a prophet. A self-proclaimed prophet. It's okay to do it tongue-in-cheek, but don't take yourself so seriously. Do the work of a prophet. Don't worry about being called a prophet. Prophetess. It's not those names that God gave folk in the Bible was not a title for them to use, but rather an office to feel, a work to do. It's not about the title. Christians don't have titles, man. That's why we call David David. We call Paul Paul. Saint Paul. We don't even call him by the last name. Brother Paul. Brother Peter. We got Christians today who want to be called doctor, prophet, reverend, and everything else. It's not about the title, man. It's about the job you do. not what you call by it. So that's free. So God had to deliver it through his preacher or his prophet, because oftentimes the people in the pews are too blind to see it on their own. That's why you need to be faithful to the house of God. The preaching of the word of God will keep you safe, will protect you from the devils and the demons and from the false prophets in the world. And by the way, preacher, it's not about your title. We got too many preachers who spend too much time trying to create an attractive title to get people to come. It's not about the title, man. It's about the message. It's about the word. You would do better, Brother Andy, by taking the book of Matthew and preaching all the way through it. It's an amazing thing when a pastor does that. Here a little, there a little. Proclaim the word of God. Despise not prophesyings. Despise not the preaching of God's holy word. Be faithful in attending the house of God and hearing the word of God. And if your church is not preaching the word of God and is a bunch of fluff and stuff, psychology and psychobabble, then go someplace else where the word of God is preached. You'll be better off in a small church of 100 people or less, where the pastor is preaching line upon line. On Sunday morning, he's preaching through the book of Mark. On Sunday night, he's preaching through Ephesians. On Wednesday night, he's preaching through Isaiah. You'll get a whole lot out of that. I'm here to tell you, the church will be fed. Not fed up, but fed, man. It's a beautiful thing. Despise not prophesying. I have so many other things to say today, but I do have to go to another meeting, and by the grace of God, next Wednesday we'll finish this message. But most importantly, dear friend, if you're with us today and you are not saved, you need to be saved. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? Your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. Those who are not born again, those who are not saved, we all are in the same boat. Christians are no better than you are. We're just forgiven of our sins. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave or are cremated. Our soul goes to hell to spend eternity. Jesus Christ to preach more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ to preach more on hell than he did about heaven. So you need to accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a real place. You don't have to go there. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of torment. A place of gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. And that sounds like a bad place, because it is. And that's where you will go to spend eternity if you don't trust Christ as Savior. I know that that is not popular, and you may not have heard that before, but it's true. And so hell is bad news, but I have good news for you today. And that is, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And that's all you have to do, is believe on Christ. Receive the free gift from God. This is good news. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to raise your hand. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Are you willing to trust him with your heart today and believe on him with all of your heart? Well, then pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by dishonesty, by lusting after people and things, by being envious of people and their things, by taking your holy name in vain, by stealing stuff, by disobeying my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of these sins and all of my other sins as well. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my dear friend, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you by God's grace, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.